The Japanese invaded Attu as well as Kiska Island in June 1942. Both were highly contested in World War II because of their location. The U.S. military feared Attu would become a staging ground for attacks on North America. In 1943, American soldiers recaptured the island, turning it into a staging ground for attacks on Japan. 70 years later, the 378-foot Coast Guard cutter Sherman glided into Massacre Bay as dawn was slowly breaking through the fog and gloom. Attu Island has a number of grim-sounding places. Massacre Bay most likely gets its name from the murder of 15 Aleuts in 1745 by Russians. For Sherman commanding officer Captain Joe Hester, the trip to Attu was a link to his first years in the Coast Guard when he was assigned to the cutter Attu 20 years ago.
It was a patrol boat of the Island class, 110 feet long, crew of 17.
Hester served on the cutter Attu twice in Puerto Rico.
When I got assigned to the Attu, it had occurred to me to do some study and figure out what the heck she was named after. I'd never heard of Attu Island.
Attu and San Juan are more than 5,200 nautical miles apart. Hester did that study.
And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be interesting someday, serving down here in the southeastern corner of our country in Puerto Rico, on board the cutter Attu, to someday get to the northwestern corner of our country and see this desolate island named Attu.
Four others on the Sherman had personal connections to the island. Two had worked at the Loran station before the Coast Guard shut it down. The abandoned long-range aids to navigation station sits white atop a wide brown bluff with Mount Terrible in the background. When the men stepped ashore, Hester says, the two told him they thought they'd never see the place again.
On that desolate island, there's really only the Coast Guard Loran station with 22 people on it, which for those 6 weeks included these two, and they didn't remember each other.
One of the five Sherman crew to visit Attu had worked at several remote Loran stations and always wanted to go to the one at Attu. It closed before he got a chance. As the five were on the island, a Coast Guard C-130 aircraft circled overhead, dropping parts to the Sherman. When the Loran station was open, the plane was among the few connections to the outside world. Weather permitting, it came once every other week. Weather often did not permit. That was not lost on Boatswain's Mate Chief Shane Milot, a retired Navy man turned Coast Guard. The day was cold, and so was he, despite the high-tech Gore-Tex, thick boots, and other modern gear he wore.
I was just thinking about how cold we are in the gear that we've got today, and I know those guys usually went out without the type of gear that we're using, so I'm sure they were just freezing all the time and trying to do what they had to do before getting back in to try and warm up a little bit.
Milot's grandfather, from Oklahoma, was a heavy equipment operator on Attu during the war. He didn't talk much about the experience until his grandson announced he had joined the Navy.
My grandfather said that when he was in the Corps of Engineers, World War II, he was up here building bases. And basically, he and his team got invited along to go run the Japs out of the Aleutian Islands. And while I don't think he was in the primary wave that hit Attu, I know he was on Attu, and he also went to Kiska.
Milot calls Attu Island desolate but gorgeous, and now it has special significance to him. Captain Hester says it was his idea to visit Attu during the Sherman's Fall Bering Sea Patrol. He describes trenches, abandoned fuel tanks, and a few memorials as standing in silent witness to the courage and sacrifice of those who fought to reclaim the island for the U.S. He notes the five crewmen's reaction, including BMC Milot.
He walked the beaches and saw the piers and saw the places where his grandpa had served about 70 years ago, and it meant something to me, and I think it meant a lot to the chief.
As the men departed Attu, Hester says a snowy owl landed atop a cement door frame, standing alone amidst the rubble of a World War II building in the tundra.
The owl never deigned to even take a look at us, only over its shoulder, possibly contemplating the large white Coast Guard cutter in the bay from which we'd come and to which we would soon return.
Leaving the barren, quiet place to the owl and the geese, to the abandoned wreckage of war and fishermen long gone, and to the ghosts and memories that haunt Attu. In Juneau, I'm Rosemarie Alexander.